Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thank you once again for tuning into Catholic Sports View right here on Relevant Radio. Later on in the program, we're going to talk with the head football coach at Servite High School, Troy Thomas. We're going to get his thoughts on how the season went. Pretty good one for the Friars and a pretty good future ahead for Servite as well. But let's start off the show by talking about one of the great cross-country racers to ever come through Southern California. Became a Trinity League legend over the weekend. Anthony Grover won his third consecutive state championship, and we have his head coach on the line, Marty Dugard. Coach, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes, and quite a weekend out there, huh?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. See, watching a little history made with Anthony winning his third in a row.
Yeah, I mean, that's really something. Let's put the setting together for everybody out there. CIF State Championships, Woodward Park, up in Fresno. And, three times in a row at the Division IV champion. What does it really take, not only to do it once, not twice, but three times? I mean, we know how special Anthony is and how talented he is, but this was not a given, right? It's not a given that you're going to be able to complete this kind of an almost unprecedented accomplishment.
A lot of things can happen over the course of a high school career. I mean, you could, you know, lose your motivation. You know, teenagers are, you know, a lot of the things are changing with their bodies and their social life and everything. So to stay focused and disciplined for, you know, a whole high school career to win three state titles, you know, avoiding injury, making sure you get your sleep and you hydrate, really take care of yourself. And, you know, not to just win, but, you know, to win the way Anthony ran on Saturday by, you know, leading the whole race from start to finish, making a move about halfway through and just dropping the pack and then putting the hammer down. It was pretty impressive.
Well, was this really the signature moment in his high school career?
You know, I think his signature moment is going to come this coming Saturday at the Nike Cross Nationals in Portland. I'm hoping so. But this was a big day. I mean, you know, for him to, you know, I watched him as he came past with about 600 meters left, and he was looking so smooth and so confident. And you can tell he's just grown from just a kid to a young man, and he's got so much poise. It's really, really special to watch.
The training regimen, obviously, this is a year-round thing. It's a lifestyle, right? It's not something you can just kind of let go and pick up again. I mean, this is something you have to commit to pretty much. This is your way of life in a way?
It has to be. You can't be a champion at an endurance sport without altering everything you do to, you know, on a daily basis. You can't take a day off. You can't take a week off. You need to just commit to the process, you know, day in and day out, eat the right food, get the right sleep. It's everything.
Have you seen kids come in before? And I would imagine the answer is yes, but have you seen kids come through before that had the same kind of talent, maybe had that, but didn't have that drive, didn't have that focus that somebody like Anthony has?
I see it all the time. It's actually heartbreaking to watch because running can open so many doors, and it can get you into college. It can get you a level of success. You know, open doors as you go to the business world after college. And to see kids come in and, you know, they get distracted and maybe they start partying a little bit, or they get in with a bad crowd, or they start missing practices. And you watch that talent, they think it's going to be there forever, and it just kind of goes away.
Coach Marty Dugard joining us, the head cross-country coach at JCERA Catholic High School. We're talking about Anthony Grover of JCERA, who is a Wake Forest commit and just won his third state championship in a row. It's been done before, obviously, but not very often, right? This is not something that you see come along all that often. How special is he? I mean, obviously, he's going to go to college now, and he's got a chance to even reach higher things. You know, we've talked about this before, but, I mean, this is a special kid who's really focused, right, on the future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had a few really, really great runners, you know, in my time, you know, state champions. But, you know, of the whole group, I mean, I look at Anthony and his commitment to his training and his craft and, you know, educating himself about the sport outside of practice, you know, reading and watching video. I tend to think that if Anthony wants to commit to racing after college and becoming a post-collegiate athlete who goes on to the Olympic level, I think the sky's the limit. He really has that kind of talent. And in the basis of that isn't just his physical, all the stuff he was blessed with from birth, but also his mental toughness. He is one of the few people I've ever seen who just wills himself to win. Before the race on Saturday, you know, he had to qualify for nationals. He had to hit a certain time. And I went up to him and I said, "Do you know what you need to do today?" He goes, "I know exactly what I need to do today." And he executed it to the second. It was breathtaking.
you're a runner yourself. I mean, you can obviously put yourself, I guess, in his shoes somewhat, and know you know what he's gone through and what it took to get to that point. But we talk about running, and it looks like somebody's just out there running, and how much talent does it take to run? But you know, we talk about there's so much more that goes into it. But is the mental aspect really the part that separates the maybe good athlete from the great athlete?
Well, the mental component is everything. We have a team shirt that we wear on the front. It just says suffer. And you've got to be able to embrace that suffering. It's that our team verse is Romans 5:1. You know, we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And so that's all mental. But that is not something that you can learn just by casually deciding you want to become a runner. That is a commitment to pushing yourself, you know, not just to your limit, but beyond your limit, and embracing that suffering. And that's what he does really, really well.
How much strategy goes into a race like this? You know, you're obviously up against the best of the best in the state. How much can you strategize knowing some of the other runners maybe that are in the race with you?
For someone who's new to running, who just has raw talent, that's the kind of person who just goes out and just kind of just runs as fast as they can, and then they hope for the best. Someone like Anthony, we sit down before the race and we plot it out. Okay, we're going to go out the first mile with the leaders. We're going to, you know, sit on the leaders. We're not going to do the hard work of setting the pace. Somewhere between the first mile and the second mile, there's going to be a surge to pull away. If someone goes with them, there'll be another surge to drop that guy. And then the third mile is, you know, put the hammer down, go full gas all the way to the finish. You know, but we can change that strategy up a lot of ways. Like at Trinity League Finals this year, I had Anthony hang back with the rest of the team. They run the first mile to have just with the boys to get our full five-man pack right where we want them to be. And then at a mile and a half, we split the pack up. Everybody ran for the victory, and you know, we ended up getting a Trinity League championship that way. So there's a lot of strategy you can employ, but you just got to be able to be physically fit enough and mentally aware enough to execute when it comes time.
Marty Dugard is joining us on the phone, the head cross-country coach at J. Sarah Catholic, and we are talking about Anthony Grover, a three-time state champion with the big win over the weekend in Fresno. We talk about Anthony's, you know, opportunity now to go run in college. Is there kind of a gap, an age frame or a time in someone's life where they're at their best physical peak as a runner?
Well, you need about 5 years to build your aerobic base, you know, to really kind of get your aerobic capacity up to where you want it to be. And that's just kind of the jumping off point to becoming an elite runner. So Anthony's been doing this 4 years. You know, his freshman year of college will be the fifth year. So as good as he is right now, he has not even begun to mature into being a top-level runner. But, you know, distance running is one of those sports that is cumulative. So the more you train, the more over the years, the stronger and faster you get. So, like I said, as good as he is right now, if he's still running 10 years from now, which is when most distance runners kind of peak, which is that 28 to 30 range, It lights out. I mean, he could really do some spectacular things.
I think I've asked you this question before, but I'll touch on it again. That you, I think you told me before that there are kids that come that can maybe kind of burn out or kind of come out of other athletic endeavors, other sports, and kind of maybe find their way into running. Is there a certain athlete that maybe is predispositioned to have an easier time getting into distance running?
You know, for some reason, the two sports that migrate, that drift over towards us, are basketball players and soccer players. They seem to have the body type for it. They have enough athleticism from the lateral movement and the leaping that translates really well. And we welcome them because I honestly think that people who take up running too seriously before the age of about 13 or 14 tend to burn out. I'd rather have somebody enjoy all sports when they're younger, you know, football, basketball, baseball, you know, whatever. And then maybe you kind of get to that 13, 14 years old where you're making a choice about what sport is your sport and what you want to do to compete in college. And I think the thing about running that I think a lot of people are drawn to is you chart your own course. If you do the training, you're going to run fast on race day. And no coach can bench you because he doesn't like you, or no coach can you know, reduce your playing time because you might have had a bad day in practice. You know, I like to say that running is the only sport where you want less playing time, because that means that you're winning the race and everybody else is 3 or 4 minutes behind you.
And I say this as a person who's not a runner. You are, and obviously you coach these kids. What goes through your mind when you're running a race like that? Are kids thinking about school and other things, or is there just sort of you hear about that kind of place that runners go to, I guess, where you just sort of shut everything out? Or are you kind of, is there a free conscious thing going on as you run? What's that process like?
Well, it's two different things. When you're training, you know, if you're out on a training run and it's just a, like a 12-miler with a group, and everybody's kind of going at a conversational pace. You know, the conversation goes all over. You know, people talk, and they joke, and they laugh, and, you know, they jump through puddles and stuff like that. But when you get to the real racing aspect, if you're running an all-out 5K, you get a level of hyper-focus where you're not thinking about your schoolwork, you're not thinking about your girlfriend, you're not thinking about your mom and your dad. You're thinking about where you are right now. You're thinking about your breathing. You're thinking about the guy who's next to you. You're listening to his breathing to see if it's labored or if he's relaxed. You know, that'll tell you when you can move on the guy. And all those things, when it comes to racing, no other thought enters your head. I mean, if there are other thoughts entering your head that are, you know, frivolous, you're not really in the race and you're not there to win.
That's fascinating. And I never considered that part where you're actually paying attention to the runner next to you and trying to tune in maybe with their breathing and using that to your advantage as well. That is fascinating.
You know, Anthony, here's a good example. His first race of the year was down at the Morley Field in San Diego, and he was running side by side with a runner from another school. And, you know, he knew that the guy was struggling a little bit. He could hear his breathing a little bit labored, but then and he was trying to wait for his moment to pull away. And the other guy lost his footing just for a second. He stepped on a loose patch of gravel and just kind of, you know, flustered. And the minute Anthony heard that happening, he went. He took off. And it's just that kind of attention to not just your own detail, but other people's detail is how you can become a champion.
Yeah. A couple more minutes with Marty DeGarde here, the cross-country coach at J. Sarah High School. And what a special runner, Anthony Grover, winning his third straight cross-country state championship, going out on top. Obviously, you've built quite a program there at J. Sarah. It's already a destination program. But I would have to think that, you know, having somebody like Anthony obviously come through the program just helps create a little more attention and a little more, you know, pizzazz for the program as well.
Well, yeah, thank you, and thank you for all those nice comments. We've tried to, every year, build the program and make it just that little bit better. I mean, well, the first year we went to the state meet in 2007, we were just glad to be there. And you know, there was no thought of being a champion or having an individual champion. And, you know, Anthony was, that marked our seventh state champion. We've got three team championships and four individual championships, but we've gotten better every year. So, you know, Anthony's raised the bar. And I guarantee you someone's going to come through in 2 or 3 years who's going to challenge Anthony's stuff, and then someone's going to challenge that guy. And we try to keep pushing people to, you know, not settle and be their very best. And, you know, and it translates to life. I mean, if you can embrace the things we need to do to be good as runners, which is, you know, perseverance, a work ethic, an ability to push past your self-perceived limits to be the best you can be instead of, and you know, banish all mediocrity from your life. If you can do all those things, you can be a champion, and that will translate to the business world, into parenting, into everything we do.
Yeah. How much of an advantage is that for an underclassman to be able to train with somebody like Anthony, see how he goes about his business, and see how he became a champion? That obviously has to rub off on kids who are coming up from the lower levels as well.
Yeah, a good example is we had a guy 4 years ago named Andrew Burkhart, who he runs for Cal now, but he had a way to do it. You know, he won a state championship, and then so he showed a guy named Peter Harold, you know, how to get it done. And Peter's now running at UCLA, and he was the next generation. And then Peter showed Anthony how to get it done. You know, and Anthony's going on to Wake Forest. And all these guys basically say, okay, there's a time to screw around before practice. There's a time to relax after practice. But when we're here, when we're running, it's all business. And, you know, and it shows in the way that they show up in stretch, in the way they warm up, and the way they commit to the entire workout. They don't complain. They never come to me and say, oh, this is too hard, or you don't care about my feelings. You know, it's just one of those things where they go out and they get the job done, yeah. And they show the other kids how to get it done too.
Yeah, really something. Well, we know Anthony got it done. He obviously solidified his place in school history, in Orange County history, and obviously the whole cross-country community in Southern California history as well. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes and talking about him with us, a special young man, and we congratulate him. We look forward to what he's going to be able to do beyond this as well. Thanks again. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
All right, that's Marty DeGarde, the head cross-country coach at J. Sarah Catholic High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports U. We'll be right back. You are listening to Relevant Radio. Hello, let's welcome welcome in the head football coach from Servite High School, and that is Troy Thomas. Coach, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes here on Catholic Sports View.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, I've been talking for a little while about who's going to be that third team to kind of jump up and challenge Bosco and Modern Day. They've had the stranglehold on the Trinity for several years now. We thought at one time Jay Sarah was going to be that team, but now Servite seems to be the team that really planted the flag, I think, this year. You guys really did and said, hey, we're going to be that team to come up and make a run here. What a season it was for you. This second year back in the second go around here at Servite, you got to be happy with kind of the whole entirety of the season, I would guess.
Yeah, it was a great season. We really wanted to make a push to the top four in Division One, and we thought we were close. So we're still hungry. We're not satisfied with the season that we had overall, but I could say we're happy, I guess, that we're being considered one of the top teams in the Trinity. But our guys are hungry. They really want to be the top team, and that's what we're pushing for.
It's a fine line, right? When you're a young team, you want to see those young kids make strides, which you certainly did. But you're right. At some point, you kind of cross over the line, and it's no more, hey, we're just happy to be here. It's, hey, we know we can compete. We know we can beat these teams, right?
Yeah, and that was something I warned our guys about. Everybody was saying how young we are, but we had a group of seniors that, I think really did a great job setting a strong foundation these last 2 years for our young guys to look up to and to learn from. And, now they're going to have to do those things that they learned and doing the things the right way. And then also in the mistakes that maybe they made. And I think those young guys are ready for it.
Did you feel like it was a little bit of a missed opportunity? Obviously, you had your chances to beat Mission Viejo in that playoff game. What kind of went wrong as it turned out in the end?
I definitely feel like we missed an opportunity. Not that we didn't play hard or give our best effort. I don't think we played well. There was some missed opportunities for whatever reason. The offense initially struggled with the snaps of all things. Week 12, we hadn't really had that very much, and we had some over 15 snaps that were tough to handle for our quarterback. I think it threw his rhythm off in the first half, and I think we got that settled down. He had a great second half, but that threw us off for sure.
When you look at the schedule, and I know how you are, and you're not going to shy away. You're going to schedule a pretty good schedule, which you did for your team this year. The close loss to Gorman, and then the win over Cajon, and then the big win over a very good Villa Park team. But I think the win over Notre Dame, I think, maybe opened some eyes. Close kind of defensive battle, 16-13. I think that's when people maybe started saying, hey, Servite might be for real here.
That was a kind of a coming out party for some defensive guys. Two sophomore defensive linemen, Maxie Lau and Mason Graham. I think they realized that they belong, at that point, and I thought they played really well, the rest of the year after that game. I feel like that the defense grew up that night a little bit. Our offense had been scoring a lot of points, and the defense had to do something to win that one. So that was a big game for us defensively.
Then you take that momentum into the next game against Bosco, and surprise, surprise, right? You very much had the chance to beat the number two team in the nation right there. Had them on the ropes, ended up losing 27-26. What went through your mind at the end of that game, and kind of what was your message to the kids to come that close, knowing you basically had them beat, and if it wasn't for a couple of quirky things that happened at the end of the game?
Well, it's interesting. We played them twice in passing league, and it was kind of the same thing. We played to the wire. I think our kids believe that they can play with Bosco and beat them. We just haven't done it yet. It's the same thing with all the teams in our league. Our kids believe in themselves. They've put a lot of hard work in over the last 2 years, and now, we'll get a third year under our belt before we head into, this next season. Our kids are working hard. We'll have a bunch of them lifting today, this week. I'm actually heading in right now for a lifting session with our next year's team.
Wait a minute, Coach Thomas is headed to the weight room? I never would have guessed that, right?
Yeah, I don't take too many days off, and our guys are following suit. They've bought into the effort in the weight room and what that can do for your team. Our kids, we're not the biggest team. Our kids are, you would say maybe a little undersized at certain positions, but they definitely have the heart, and they're tough. They're very smart kids. and hardworking. It's been so much fun to coach these guys because they've really just done what I've asked them to do. And, you know, we just haven't done it long enough yet. You know, we've almost been here 2 years working really hard. I think we just got to do it for longer, and, you know, we'll be one of those top teams again.
Troy Thomas, our guest on the line, head coach, head football coach at Servite High School, 7-4, great season this past year, and a third place finish in the Trinity League, and a near miss win over Mission Viejo. Otherwise, who knows how things might have turned out in the rest of these Division I playoffs. You mentioned it, and we talk about it at times as well, and it's almost turned into a cliche, but it's so true that really the foundation of any team is set in the offseason, like right now, right? We talk about getting in the weight room. This is when you can really even start to create that foundation for the next season this early on.
We started Friday night at about 11 o'clock, you know, the night that we lost to Mission Viejo. You know, we walked our seniors out for the last time out of the locker room, and the team that was remaining, you know, came back in, and we talked to them for a little bit, especially the current juniors. And a few of those guys said some things, and they said one of the guys, Nick Jaco, be a returning starter at safety, said it's our team now, and we need to take over. And I believe he's going to do it, and I believe this group of juniors learned a ton from you know, guys like Tristan Wilson, mm-hmm, and Carrington Dennis. I mean, we had some great seniors, Joe Nicholas, Nick Manessas, great kids that just did things right. You know, we feel like we have a group of, you know, upcoming seniors that are going to lead us, and they started, you know, a week ago. They're a week into their off season already.
Right. You know, that was a hallmark of your first tenure at Servite, is to have those senior kids who taught the next group of kids coming up how to become leaders. And I think that's a big thing. How do these kids, do you set out trying to teach these kids how to be leaders, or does that just become a natural thing where the kids kind of pass down that torch?
I do think there is something at Servite that teaches these kids. I don't think it's necessarily a football thing or a Troy Thomas thing. I think it's a Servite thing. I just believe that Servite does a great job of attracting parents and kids that believe in, you know, a certain type of way to do things. And I think it's, a lot of times it's a harder way. It's a longer road. It's a longer process. But in the end, it's set on such a strong foundation. That's what we're trying to teach our guys, that you can do that in every aspect of your life. You know, sometimes kids don't apply that to athletics. And so what we're trying to get them to see is, yes, this is how you do things in football too. You know, we've had a group of guys that have really bought into that. And all I believe that we did is just set a standard. And I believe that these kids have met it every day. And I think the young guys now have had two off seasons. Our senior class has had two off seasons of training and understanding what it takes to be a champion. And we're close. You know, we're close. We just haven't, we're not, you know, we haven't made that jump over that hurdle yet to become a champion again.
No, you're exactly right. You're very close, as this last season proved. Obviously, you know, having the sophomore quarterback, Noah Fifita, who made such strides this year. I mean, they're going into next season, he's going to become he'll be the top returning quarterback, certainly in the Trinity, and across Southern California. It's hard to think of many that come in with better credentials than what he showed this past year.
Yeah, I know there may be some people that are surprised by what he did. I'm not. You know, he's just a different guy. And I've had a few of these guys over the years, you know, that are just different. And I saw it right away from this guy. And, you know, I know he's going to do some great things. I think he has a lot of growth in him, too, though. I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to is seeing him grow as a leader. You know, he's definitely a special football player and a great young man, very humble and smart, hardworking. But I want him to take it to the next level as far as his leadership of the offense and our team. And he started to work on it. You know, I made him a captain every week on purpose because I want him to understand the role that he has in our program. And throwing a great pass or making a great read is great, and that's what he does. But I'm expecting more from him. You know, we've had some great leaders at quarterback. You know, Cody Pittman and Cody Fajardo. And I, you know, I hate to say it, but I do think Fifita throws it better than both those guys.
Wow.
But, you know, the leadership part you know, it's something that I believe Cody Fajardo, and he's one of the best leaders I've ever had. And I think that Cody Pittman benefited so much from watching him for 2 years, you know, and that's where I think Noah is going to take huge jumps in his game with our team this offseason.
Servite, kind of more than a lot of other schools, really does it with the homegrown kids. I mean, the kids that come in and want to be part of Servite for 4 years, not just the kids who come in for a year or two. How much of a difference does that make? Not to say, you know, transfers may not come to Servite. They might. But, you know, it seems like the kids really buy into that 4 years wanting to be a Friar.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I think it's a process, and I think it takes a time. You know, doing things the right way over time produces something special. And I think if you're about just bringing guys in and making an all-star team, you know, I think you can win that way. And I think teams have won that way in the past. I'm not that interested in that. I don't think it's that fun. I like building a relationship and seeing what you can do over time when you put the guys together, and they're better together over time. They learn how to play together and they become a family. And they play hard for each other. And I think, again, that just takes time. I try to keep my freshmen together. You know, I don't like to bring the freshman guys up, even though there have been a few in the last couple of years I think are really, really good football players and could have helped us. I try to keep that core group together for their first year of Servite, you know, so they can build that bond and that brotherhood that's going to carry them for 4 years, and I believe beyond the 4 years of high school. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to be out there attracting the eighth graders to, you know, at least look at Servite. We're not out there trying to attract 9th, 10th, and 11th graders to transfer. If they do, you know, that's on their own. You know, that's something that they see something special, or their family sees something special about Servite. They want to be a part of it. So we're definitely, that's not our blueprint. You know, we're definitely not trying to do that, trying to build from the, you know, the 9th graders coming in.
The D1 final, as most people probably thought that when the season started, once again, we have Modern Day and Bosco. You're very familiar, obviously, with both programs. Modern Day got Bosco the first time around. We talk about you just barely losing, your team barely losing to Bosco, 27-26. Modern Day got you like 56-11, I think, was the final score. Is Modern Day just that much better than everybody else in the world right now?
I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Bosco's definitely improved. When we played them, you know, just watching them, I watched both games, the both semifinal games. I think it's going to be a good game. I do think that, you know, Modern Day, you know, their quarterback, Bryce Young, I think he's just so good. You know, not that DJ's not. I think Bryce just has something different. But we'll see, man. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be closer than the first one. And, you know, you never know. That's why you play the game. It's exciting for the Trinity League, exciting for those two programs. I'm hopeful. You know, our guys are watching and looking at it going, you know, we could have been there. And we got to do some things a little bit differently there next year.
Yeah. No, definitely exciting. And it's exciting for us to see the Servite Friars back in the win column as much as you were this year and back in the thick of the race here in the Trinity League. Coach, want to wish you luck. I know you're on your way to the weight room, and get them going. And we're looking forward to seeing those Friars in 2020.
Right on. Really appreciate it.
And I want to thank both my guests this week, Troy Thomas and Marty Dugard. We are on social media, and if you are too, go ahead and join us on Twitter. We are at CatholicSV, at CatholicSV, and you can always drop us an email as well, CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you once again next Saturday right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Spread the word about our broadcast, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this same time on Relevant Radio.